We're going to try to finish our study in knowing God's will. We've been looking at the issue of knowing God's will and making wise decisions because they go together. We finished this morning. We want to focus on some guidelines that will help us as we seek to make wise decisions as we live for Christ, obeying His Word. Wisdom is the key. We know that Ephesians 5 says, walk in wisdom, redeeming the time. That's what Ephesians said to us. Our goal is to know God's will and make wise decisions. And may we understand, this is the key, I want you to understand the freedom that we have as God's children as we seek to live for Him. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for this morning. Thank You for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died and rose again, and by faith in Him we have eternal life. Thank You. Thank You that He died to take our sins upon Himself. He rose again to conquer death. We have indeed a risen, living Savior. Lord, we ask You that as we think about knowing Your will and living for You and making wise decisions and how all that tries to tie together, help us to look to Your Word and see the truths and principles are there. We ask You, Lord, to teach us. We ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. We want our lives to count for Christ. Colossians 3:17. If you're in Colossians 3:17 is one of my favorite verses of all time. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do in word, what you say, or deed, what you do, do it for the Lord Jesus. Bring honor and glory. That's a key. That includes every area of our life, even decisions. As we bring to a close our study on knowing God's will and making wise decisions and all that, let me just tell you what we're going to try to do this morning in the time that we have. First of all, we're going to review just quickly the three aspects of God's will. Then we're going to review how to make wise decisions. That's that green handout that you have. Most of you have this. On one side is the sovereign aspect, knowing God's will in that way, and the other side is how to make wise decisions. We're going to review both of those very quickly. I mean very quickly. Then we're going to look at and as we do that, we're going to look at that article. Don't read the article now, but I'll show you this little article right at the end and just show you how a person had a decision to make and what he did. The third thing, after that, we're going to look at some guidelines for wise living, and then we'll close it out by looking at the bibliography that I've got for you. You don't want to look at that, but there's some books and articles that might help you as you continue thinking about this. Well, let's begin. And we think about God's will and the whole aspect of the sovereign plan of God. And let me just quickly go through this. And just really because of time, unless you have a question right now about that, let me go through it and we'll get back on the questions in just a little bit. We said that God's will is really in three areas. There's the sovereign will of God. It's going to be accomplished. God's plan. He has a plan and purpose. He has decreed all things. Ephesians 1:11 says He works all things according to the counsel of His will. Psalm 135 says He does what He wants. James chapter 4 basically tells us if we're going to do something, we should say, if the Lord wills, we'll do that. But the sovereign plan of God is going to be accomplished. The thing about it is He doesn't tell us what it is. He doesn't tell us His sovereign plan for our lives. He didn't reveal that to us. Occasionally, He lets us know of things He's going to do. He's going to come back and get us. He's going to prepare a place for us. There's going to be an Antichrist. He's going to rule on the world, earth for 1,000 years. There'll be an eternal state. There'll be a new Jerusalem. He's told us some of those things. But as a whole, He does not reveal to us the sovereign plan that He has for our lives. The second aspect is the whole aspect of the specific will of God, and that is His Word. That's the Bible. And He has in the Bible truths and principles that we can live by. There are certain commands that we look at, certain things that are right and wrong. There are certain principles in which, from the principles, we make decisions. So there is the specific will. You can get out of the specific will of God. You can disobey the Scripture, and that is called sin. You can't get out of the sovereign plan of God because God is such a great God that even takes our disobedience and those kind of things, and that all fits in His sovereign plan. And yet, He tells us, this is specifically what I want you to do. That's the Bible. That's why it's so important that we know the Scripture so we can understand how it fits. The third thing is what we're calling the general will of God, and that's making wise decisions. That in areas which are not revealed in the Bible, He gives us the freedom to make wise choices. And sometimes this doesn't sound right to people because you're saying, wait a minute, whether I take this job or not, somehow isn't God supposed to tell me whether to take the job? And what I think from the Scripture and the best way to see is that God says, whether you take that job or not, I'm giving you freedom. It's wide open. I'm not giving you direct revelation on that particular job. You have freedom to make a wise choice. And so when we think about God's will, there's the sovereign plan that's going to be accomplished. There is the specific will, which is to be obeyed. And there's what I call the general will, which is the freedom to make wise choices. Now, we said this, that whenever you've got a decision to make, you've really got two things to look at. One, number one, that you've got some decisions to make that you can go back to the Word of God and you can make those decisions. There are certain decisions you make that are right and wrong. They're based on biblical principles and biblical commands. But when you have a decision to make and it's not based on the Bible principles or a command, and you, in a sense, you say, there's nothing in the Bible about that particular situation. Do I take this job? Do I marry this person? Do I do this? Do I wear these clothes? Do I wear that tie? Do I get up at 6:30? Do I set my clock back or forward so I can remember to be here? Do I do those kind of things? You have the freedom. And we're going to see that. So two different kind of things. Now, on the flip side of that is how to make wise decisions. We went on this last week. We talked through it fairly quickly. But here's the bottom line, and this is the one, and I told you at the very beginning of our study that some of the things, when we talk about this, some have been taught the opposite of this. They've been taught that you're supposed to go and somehow God's going to give you direct revelation, that when you've got a decision to make, whether it's to take a job or do something, that you go and pray about it, so to speak, and God's going to reveal it to you somehow. How to make a wise decision, and here's the key. In areas where the Bible gives no specific command or principle, the believer is free to choose the course of action. It sounds almost wild. You mean to say, I can take that job or not take that job? I can wear these clothes or not wear these clothes? I've got that kind of freedom? Yes. Now, let me show you. Here's what we talked about. The question you have to ask when you have a decision to make, is does the decision come under the specific will of God? If it is, you look, as if there's a specific command, whether it's something right or wrong, you are to obey it. If it's a specific principle, such as not who to marry, but what type of person to marry. The Bible will tell you that you must marry a Christian. And so if you said, I'm going to marry this person, they're not a Christian, but I think that's okay, it's not okay. But the Bible doesn't tell you which person to marry, but it tells you the kind of person to marry. Things about job, church, and all that. Whatever specific principles or commands you have, you are to obey them. But if it doesn't come under that, then basically it comes under the general will of God. And if what you have there is you are free, your choice, free to choose the course of action, and it is to make wise decisions. That's the thing that we've said over and over. You want to make wise decisions. We saw in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul, without getting direct revelation from God, had to make a decision, and he said, we thought it best. That's what you want to do. When you make decisions in which you don't have direct revelation from God, you basically say, we think this is the wisest, best move to make. You have freedom. Now, let's keep looking at it and see how it fits. We talked about James chapter 1. And by the way, people talk about wisdom when we pray. People, in fact, when I talk about it this way, some people say to me, well, then, JB, you don't believe in praying. I said, no, I don't believe in praying for direct revelation from God, but I believe in asking God for wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally. Now, here's the question I want you to understand. Where in the world do we get wisdom? Proverbs 3:13 says, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. Where do we get it? Proverbs 4:4 says, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Wisdom comes from God's word. Proverbs 2:1, my son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. We're talking about the Word of God. So when people say, I'm going to ask for wisdom, bottom line is you're saying, God, help me as I look through your word, the illumination of the Holy Spirit, to help me understand truths and principles so I can make wise decisions. Does this come under a specific command or a principle or a truth? We said last time that if you have this freedom, we said that there's some things that you can do. First of all, godly counsel. It's wise to go to somebody who said, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, and I know you've done that in the past. What did you think? Was it good or not? I mean, what, you know, that's the kind of decision. Godly counsel, Proverbs 11 talks about that. You look at the circumstances. Now, remember, just because a door is open or a door is closed does not mean that you can't do it necessarily. We saw where Paul had a door open and he stayed. Paul had another door open and he left. Sometimes in your life you say, I want to do that. The door closes. There's no possible way for you to do it. Sometimes you got two doors open at the same time. What are you going to do then? See, so just because the door, but sometimes our circumstances, as I told you last week, I had a friend that wanted that basically thought he was going to go to medical school. 7 times he tried to get in and failed the test and couldn't get in. He's a missionary in England. And that's what he really loves to do. But he thought at that stage of his life, that's what he was going to do, is go to medical school. And he never could get in. And finally he said, you know, I guess I'm not going to pursue that anymore. In fact, I'm kind of losing the desire to do it after 7 times. The third thing, as we talked about it last time, was the desires in Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord. He gives you the desires of your heart. I think that bottom line is, and without getting too technical, is when you're living for Jesus Christ, that many of the desires that you have in your life are coming from Him. I've said this over and over, that the natural person does not want to share his faith. The natural person does not want to go to seminary. The natural person doesn't want to go to a Bible college. The natural person doesn't want to be a missionary. The natural person doesn't want that their whole life to count for Jesus Christ. That's not the desires of the flesh. And so I think when we live for Jesus Christ, many of the desires that we have are coming from God. That's why I say to you that when you have a decision to make, and it's one of those that you have freedom on, the first question I will ask you, if you were to come to me and say, JB, I got a decision to make, whether I take this job or take this job, the first question I would say to you is, what do you want to do? I'm going to use Matt as an example. We talked just recently. He had a decision to make. He and I just talked about it. He'd gone through the whole process. But he just came for, as he said, wise counsel. I don't know how wise it was, but he came to me and we talked. And I said to Matt, if you have the choice right now, and you do, what would you rather do? And he said, I'd rather do this. And so I said, well, why don't you do that? He said, well, I think I am. That's what I'm going to do. But I'd rather do it. But I know I have the freedom to make a wise choice. And he checked out. He'd looked at the circumstances. He had done, got some counsel, done a lot of different things. But the bottom line was, they were equal things there. And should he take this or should he take this? He said, well, this is the one I really want to do. Well, do it. That's the freedom that we have. Now, without looking at the article, I don't want you to read the article. I just want you to think about it. I gave this little article to you, and at the top, it's that, I can't tell color. Is this the orange one or the pink one? Is the orange one? Salmon. Yes. It's the salmon one. Here's a guy. Here's an article. Do not read it. Let me just read a few things to you, and then at your leisure time, you may read this. But listen to this. He's got this job offer. And so he says, my stomach insisted on knowing what was going on. Nothing had come down the chute for 3 days. All the rumbling signs. He had two jobs, two opportunities. He had a great job where he was, and then somebody from California offered him an equally good job. He said, I don't know what to do. I've got to decide. So he thought, well, what do you do? You make a list to see the pros and the cons. Well, it came out about the same. So he said, the list weren't working. So he thought, well, what I'm supposed to do is fast and ask God, and somehow He'll give me this revelation. And he said he fasted and did all the things, but 2 days sits in the tree, and then there was no revelation from God. He said, okay, well, I got to read the Scripture, which is a wise move. But when he started trying to read the Scripture to find whether he should take the California job or not, he said, I tried to somehow twist some passages, like if it said, in the spring of the morning, that's got to be it. It's got to be California sun or, you know, something like that. Finally, he says, I got no answer, and I'm getting frustrated. He said, God must be playing some kind of shell game with me, that He's saying, you got to just guess. Somehow I'm going to reveal it to you, and you better be quick of hand so you can see what the will is. And then he raises this question. What if I should choose wrongly? What if I stayed in Minnesota and later found that I'd missed the opportunity I had desired and that God seemingly granted? And then what if I went to California and discovered that I really wanted to return to Minnesota and I had ignored God's higher calling? What to do? What to do? And I want you to think about it. He said, he had two job opportunities. The list didn't work. The fasting didn't work. He had prayed, but there wasn't any revelation from God that said, take one job, take another. He had a little fear there. What if I choose the wrong one? Why is this problem going on in this guy's life? I think the problem is going on in his life because God's not going to give him direct revelation on this. He has freedom to choose or not to choose. He has freedom to stay in Minnesota or freedom to go to California. Either one are fine. And so he said he was with a friend, and this is how the breakthrough happened. He's talking to his friend about it, and his friend said, you're in a great position. And he said to his friend, how can that be? I've been fasting for 3 days. My Bible is getting dog-eared in places that has hardly been opened before. I've prayed more than any time since they were handing out lottery numbers for the draft, and I'm still no closer to knowing the right decision. And the friend said, listen, you've been given a choice between two goods. You can't lose. You got a good situation here. And what you've been offered is a good situation. I tell you, you're in great shape. He's basically saying either one you want, you're in good shape on. Either one. He goes on toward the end, and here's what he says. He says, my choices were evidence of God's magnificence. It's not a trap. He says, in God we are generally free, free to choose and enjoy any one of the many possible goods that are part of His creation. He said, I made up my mind. I made my choice. No need to say which one it was. It was the right choice, as would have been the other. Both were right. By the way, he probably stayed in Minnesota because it says Daniel Taylor is an English professor at Bethel College in St. Paul, Minnesota. So I'm just guessing he stayed there. But what he was trying to say, and what I want you to see, is you got freedom. And the decision of saying, do I do this or do this, if you don't have biblical revelation, it's not that you've got to sit in a room somewhere and hope somehow God's going to give you a feeling to either take this one or not take this one, or somehow He's going to speak to you directly to give you direct revelation. Now, I'm not saying He can't. He may. And maybe in your life it happens every time. I want you to know I've been a Christian for a long time, 20-something years, 27 years, and He has never given me direct revelation. Never. But He gave me a whole bunch of direct revelation right here. And He says, read it, know it, and on these other things, you got a lot of freedom. Now, let me give you the example that I gave about four lessons ago, how I had to make a decision. I resigned from Mississippi State, worked for a year for a State Farm agent, and then I went to Dallas Seminary. And then I got to Dallas Seminary, I didn't have a job, and I tried to find a job. I got this apartment, turned off all the heat, it was August in Dallas, and I didn't even turn the air conditioner on because I didn't know when I was going to get a job and be able to pay for all the electricity and everything. I'm sitting there with a phone book that is that big. See, I came out of Starkville, and they had a phone book that big, and this is just the yellow pages in Dallas. And I thought, how am I going to find? I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll call a State Farm agent and see if they need an office manager, because that's what I did for a State Farm agent for that year before I went to seminary. Maybe they could use one part-time. There were millions of these names in there. Well, I called a whole bunch. And after calling for 2 days, I didn't get anybody that was looking for anything. And then finally I got a guy in Garland, and he said, yes, I am looking for somebody. Won't you come out and see me? And I wrote down, and I thought, okay, I'll see if I can find Garland. And then I was kept calling, and I found another guy. He was a little gruffer. Yeah, I'm looking for somebody. What do you want? I said, well, I used to work for State Farm. I'm going to seminary. Can you come by and see me? So I wrote that down. Well, I drove to Garland, and Garland, Texas, you can't tell when you leave Dallas to Garland, but it was about a 30-minute drive from my house. And I got there. The guy was great. Let me tell you what, he loved softball. That was his thing. And he loved it. And he said, I'm looking for somebody that'll run this office while I go play softball. He said, that's the truth. And all in his room, they were just, office, plaque, softball. He loved it. I thought, this guy is a softball nut. And he said, let me tell you what you'll do. You can work for $6 an hour. You can work 27 hours a week, because that's the maximum Dallas would let you work was 25, but I got permission to work 27. He said, you can work 27, and I want you to work when you come in from your classes, get here by 1 o'clock and work from 1 to 6 and then don't work on Saturday. How's that sound? I said, it sounds great. I said, but I got to talk to one of the guys. I said, okay, fine. So I found my way back to my apartment and I called the guy and he said, come on now. And I said, where is it? And he gave me directions. And I thought, I'll never find this place. And I drove around and found out it was only about 8 minutes from where I lived. I just didn't know where I was. So I got to the place, went in. Lady in the front says, he's in the back. Went, okay, so I went to the back. He sits there. He just looks at me. He said, what do you want? I said, well, I talked to you on the phone about that job. He went, oh, you want it? I went, tell me about it. He said, well, I can pay you $6 an hour. How many hours do you want to work? I said, 27. Okay, you can work 27. $6 an hour, 27. I want you to come in. When you get out of class? About 1? Yeah. Why don't you come work every day? And how about Saturdays? I said, great. You want the job? I went, that's exactly the same. Two doors, what do you do? I said, can I call you on this one? So I didn't say, I got to go pray about it. I said, let me go figure out what to do here. So I said, okay, let's think wisdom. If I leave Dallas Seminary, take the Garland job, I leave Dallas Seminary at 1 o'clock, takes me 30 minutes to get there. I work till 6:30 at night, takes me 30 minutes to get back. So I'm going to spend more gas and more time. This place is actually in between Dallas Seminary and home, so when I leave the seminary, I go right here first, which will take about 6 minutes from the seminary and then about another 8 minutes to get home, and it won't take near as much gas. It's the same amount of money. It's the same time. It's the same everything, except in reality, this one's going to make me more money because I won't have to be driving for an hour every day plus the gas. So I called the guy back, and I said, I'll take it. He said, start work Monday. I said, yes, sir. And I called the other guy and I said, I'm not going to take it. I got another one closer. He said, I was going to play softball. I said, I know. Now, which one was I supposed to take? I could take either one of them. Neither one of them wrong. And I guarantee you, if I took the other one, I'd been just as happy. But let me tell you, and I told you this last time, that lady who was sitting there in that office, when I walked in and she went, "He's in the back." She's a great lady. I didn't know it then. I didn't know her. And every day, because I didn't know how to cook, and here I'm some single guy, 30-something years old, living by myself in Dallas, eating nothing but McDonald's hamburgers. That's true. And I would come in at work at 1 o'clock, and she would say, "Oh, we had some roasting stuff last night. I got it all for you in the back. Just take it home and heat it up." And every day I came to work, she had what they had left over from the meal before, and that was the only real food I had in 4 years. I never used my stove. In fact, when I moved out of the apartment, the guy said, "You have kept this thing clean." I said, "Yeah, I did. Well, I'm good." So which job do you take? Whichever one I wanted, because I couldn't go wrong. And that's the same way in our lives. You can't go wrong. Let me tell you, why does this seem wrong to say to you that you have that kind of freedom? Number two reasons. One, doesn't seem spiritual. I mean, you're not going and asking God to tell you something. Doesn't seem spiritual. Number two is you have to make the decisions. You have to decide. And when it comes time, you can't say, "Well, God, I just feel like God really told me to go there." You can just say, "Hey, God gave me the freedom to go there or not go there." Now, let me give you some guidelines quickly, and then we'll look. I know because we're about running out of time. First of all, just remember God is sovereign, and He is working all things according to the counsel of His will, and ultimately everything that comes in our life, He is planning it for our good. He is working it through that. That's why Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good. In one sense, if you have a decision to make and you don't have direct revelation, you don't have the Bible, you can't make a mistake. It's not a right or wrong issue. You don't have to say, "I hope I don't take the wrong job," because it's not a right or wrong issue. So think about that. Second, you got to know the Word. 2 Timothy says to dig the Word, because the more you know of the specific revelation, you know that when you have the commands, the principles to live by, you also know when you have freedom. So you need to dig the Word. Third is don't second guess yourself. Once you make a decision like that, make it and go on. And let every part of your life, Colossians 3:17, let it bring honor and glory to God. You don't have to say, "What if I would have taken the garland job?" I never think about that. You just can't do it that way. So make your decisions. And the fourth thing is, be faithful in what you do. I've seen people, they do this, and then they do that, and they say they're going to do this, and then they go back, and they do this. They're not ever faithful because they're so worried that somehow they're messing up or not messing up. In areas of freedom, go for it, and enjoy it, and be faithful. Now, I want you to look at one other thing. Look at the bibliography that I've given you, and I think this is pink. Is that right? Is that pink? There are there's some articles, which may be hard for you to find. There's some books. But I've marked personally three books that if you have a chance to read, it would be good to read. Let me give you the second one down. It says Kenneth Boa, and the book is called God I Don't Understand. He deals with issues, sovereignty and free will, and Jesus Christ being God and man at the same time, and God being three and one at the same time, and all of those hard issues that we deal with, he deals with it in that book. And it helps us when we think about it. So if you can't get, I've got the book if anybody wants to borrow it from me, but it's a great book. The next one down, I want you to look down at the name Friesen, Gary Friesen and J. Robin Maxim. He wrote a book basically called Decision Making and the Will of God. It's a huge book. It's about this thick. It starts, and the whole first third of the book is what we call that traditional way, and he goes through the traditional way, and he talks about problems, and you look at all that. And then, from about the last two-thirds of the book, he goes on the aspect of talking about making decisions, especially the ones we're talking about today, and he talks about the freedom that you have. So read that sometime if you can. Now, here's the one, if you could only read one, the one that says Robinson, Haddon Robinson. He used to be a professor at Dallas Seminary, then he was the president of Denver Seminary, and now he's a professor at Gordon Conwell. He wrote a book called Decision Making by the Book. It's not very long. It's only about that thick compared to Gary Friesen's, which is about that thick. It is right on the money as far as these kind of things. In fact, when I read the book just about 3 weeks ago, and as I read it, I said, that's exactly what I see in the Scripture. I wrote him a letter. He was already left Dallas Seminary when I went to Dallas, so I didn't know him personally. I wrote him a letter and thanked him for the book, and he wrote me back and told me about another book, which I didn't put on here because I haven't been able to get it and read it yet. But this is the best book I've read on decision making. because it's the short. The other one's really good too. It's just so big and long, most people just kind of look at it and go, I can't get into that. So if you want to get one, get the one by Haddon Robinson. It's really good. Okay, let me do one other thing here, because I know we're running out of time. I will open up for any questions or anything you might have. Remember this. God is not hiding. He's not playing a game with us. He's not up there going, they're gonna just die. I'm going to let them sit in that room for weeks trying to talk to me, and I'm just going to kind of ignore them. And they're going to sit there going, what do I do? And I'm just playing a game with them because I'm God and I can do anything I want. That's not God. God's not playing those games with us. He says, I gave you my whole book. Know it and live by it. In these other areas, you got freedom. It's the same thing as about 3 weeks ago when we talked about Adam and Eve in the garden. And he said, eat all the fruit you want except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you want fruit salad, eat fruit salad. If you want to eat them individually, eat them individually. You've got all kind of freedom. And so most of the time, our lives' decisions are fruit salad or not. He's given us revelation. Obey that. Where he didn't give you revelation, have a good time. Remember this. God's sovereign will is going to be accomplished. His specific will is to be obeyed. And his general will is where you make wise decisions. And as I said a while ago, when there is no specific command or principle, you are free to choose. But make wise decisions. That's the key. But I think one of the things you want to realize, you're not going to make a mistake on those kind of decisions. I know it doesn't sound right. And you can say, I don't believe that. That's okay. You want to go the old way, you can go the old way. You can do whatever you want to do. You know, you're accountable to God. But I want you to know, I don't believe God's got you sitting in a room somewhere waiting for some kind of feeling from God to tell you what to do when he would be saying to you, hey, you can go over here, you can go over here, whatever you want. Now, let me give you one final thing. We'll open up for questions. Our end goal of all of this is to make wise decisions and live for the glory of God. Gene Ward said this. He said, you can take your life and you can do three things with it. One is you can waste it. And there are a lot of people who waste their lives. They just go through life. They have no goals or no purposes. When they get to the end, they ask this question, is this all there is? Because that's what they did with their life. Then there's some people who spend their life. I mean, they think that the goal of life is to see how much you can do. You know, hey, I got this. I got a boat. I'm going to go this. I love to go skiing. I love to do this. I love to do this. My whole life is, how can I please me? They just spend it up. But the third way is to invest your life. You invest your life in God and others. You love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. You love others, your neighbor as yourself. That's the bottom line. And that's why that 2 Timothy passage says to take the truths and the principles and the things that you know and you find faithful people that you can teach so they can turn around and pass it on as well. The goal of life is not to waste it or to spend it. It's to invest it. And what you invest it in is the things that last forever. God, His Word, and people. They last forever. So know God, love people, and know His Word, and pass on those truths. Let's pray, and we'll open up for any questions you might have. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for this study, and Lord, we know we went fast, and there's just so much here, and we just ask you, Lord, to help us when we want to make decisions, to realize whether it's part of the sovereign plan, in which we don't know, part of the specific will which you've given us, or maybe even the general, in which we have the freedom. Lord, may we make wise decisions, and that the ultimate goal of our life is to bring honor and glory to you in everything that we do. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, questions, comments, anything? I know I went fast. It was like a bullet today. Carol, you don't have any? She's still having problems with Psalm 37:5. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart.
Do we always know God's will when we fast and pray?
Say it again.
Do we always find God's will when we fast and pray?
I think only if we go back to the Word.
Back to the Word.
Right.
What if you read Jonathan Edwards' biography and he fasted and prayed 3 days each week for lost souls and the anointing of God's Spirit? And then you do that, and after 75 days of fasting and praying, in 6 months, you end up in an accident with a busted head and brain. And you say, is that God's will?
Well, I'm not even sure what you're asking me a question that I need to fast and pray. In fact, what I've taught for these weeks is...
God's will when we fast and pray. Many times we desire, but do our desire be fulfilled?
See, I'm still not even getting your question because I don't tell people to go fast and pray to find God's will because I tell them to go back to the Word of God to find God's will. Nothing wrong with fasting and praying, but I think it's maybe praying that God will, through His Word, give us wisdom and show us truths and principles. Yeah, Jonathan Edwards had some problems, didn't he? I think maybe if you're Moses and Jesus, you can go for 40 days. you can be okay because God's planned that, but I'm not sure this other kind of fasting is what we want.